We tried to get together at last Classic, but we couldn't work it out. I'm glad you're here. You know, we have some excellent content about swim baits, and we just recently did some great content about glide baits with Carl Jacobson. And Carl has been using glide baits to score big time out on the Bassmaster Tournament Trail, now on the Bassmaster Elites. And it's fascinating to you know, watch him talk about them and use them and show us how to use them and how he's used them to great success. And it's a fascinating topic. And you have some amazing jointed, looks like glide baits, swim style baits. We got a variety of things here that you build, and they look amazing. Tell me a little bit about the baits you build.
Well, I actually work out of a garage in Concord, North Carolina. If you're a race fan, I'm pretty close to Charlotte Motor Speedway. I can actually hear the cars from my garage. But I start out, I go to Hobby Lobby and buy a block of wood, and I literally carve each intricate design.
Wow.
And then I mold that design and pour them out of a resin composite. And then I weigh them, test them, tune them, cut them, try different joints. I have anywhere from crankbaits, topwater baits, glide swim baits, jointed swim baits, fast sink, slow sink.
Wow.
Stuff's unlimited. I can pretty much do anything.
Are these balsa or what? No, what kind of wood are we using?
These actually aren't wood. This is actually a resin composite.
Oh, it's a resin composite.
And I use a fiberglass filler. Resin, pure resin itself floats. Sinks. So you have to put a filler in it to make it float. And anytime with a swim bait, you got to have buoyancy, and then you got to have some pull or weight to pull it down.
Okay.
So like, if I made this out of pure resin, it would literally just sink like this. So you got
which we like sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Right.
But you got to put something in it to get it upright, which is the floating material, the composite, which kind of is a trade secret of mine. And then you'll have lead weight in the bottom that pulls it down, and that balances the bait so it'll swim in the water the way you want.
Wow.
So that's kind of the technical term.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to this. I mean, obviously, we're learning about it.
Right.
People are really into it. I mean, you must be really into this.
Oh, yeah.
How did you get exposed to this kind of fishing? You're obviously hooked.
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, I just always love fishing. I've fished all my life. I grew up on a – I'm actually originally from Indiana, but I moved south in 97. I got more into it in the lake fishing. We had a creek behind our house in Indiana, but I loved fishing as a kid. But as I've gotten older, I was always looking for something that looked more like the actual bait in the water, the natural forage.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find what I wanted in the stores, so I made it on my own. And I always had a little bit of artistic talent. And I just used that artistic ability and tried to make the bait look more lifelike.
Yeah.
And then I got into figuring out, through trial and error, I mean, I screwed up a lot. Figuring out, okay, if I do this, it swims this way. Okay, don't do that. It's not working the way that I like.
Right.
Going out to the lake, testing it, finding out, man, they really like this design or they like the action of this.
Right.
So that's kind of how I got it.
Just trial and error. But,
yeah.
But this, you know, we've seen this stuff coming from Japan. We've seen it coming from the West Coast.
Oh, yeah.
And your designs rival anything that I've seen.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
It's custom. Thanks. It's nice. Artistic work, which I have none of, by the way. You know, stick figures I'm relatively good at, but
I can carve fish. But when someone says, well, can you make a picture of my mom, I'm like, yeah, stick figure. I can't do faces.
no kidding. Well we've got a variety of baits here. Let's do a little show and tell. Show me what you – I see bluegill imitations, well, little ones, big. I see build, looks like wake baits.
I can kind of start with the history. The first bait that I really came out with was big, and we call this the Hoochie Mama. It's a wake bait. This was probably my first successful bait, and I have a pretty good following on Facebook, Instagram, and then my internet site or my website. But this was the first one that everybody first looked at because it was so much different than everything else on the market.
Right.
But it has a big bulging head.
It does.
And I put a pretty good size lip in it. I kept it bit back to trial and error. When I first started, the lip was little. Well, it wasn't swimming. Well, finally I got it to where it would swim in the water and make a giant wake, and the resin clicks together and the tail moves water. and it just makes the right kind of noise, and they'll just come up and just explode on it.
Right, right.
And then I actually have a smaller version of this I didn't bring called called the Hoochie Mama, and I have the Hoochie Baby. That was my first successful bait. And then I moved on.
And then just to comment on this, this bait is like, to me, the original one minus was a big light bulb.
Right.
But and a big head like this.
Right.
But this has the additional, it's jointed in two places. It looks like it obviously has even more action.
This the water pushes on each side when you have your lip. You know, people know how to tune a bait.
Yeah.
But it just clicks, and the slower you move it, the louder it clacks, and then this moves water too, and it makes racket up on top.
Right. Well, it's amazing. It's amazing looking bait, and you guys watching at home, you've heard me say this before, but you're probably hearing it for the first time, Matt, is anything that touches the table stays on the table when you leave. But continue down, because these are awesome. I got to have some of these. Continue down. So this was your first bait, the Hoochie Mama.
Yeah.
How'd you come up with that name?
That's kind of a funny story. You guys want a funny story? I'll give you a good one. I was actually I have three sisters. I'm the oldest.
Yep.
My mom used to drag me shopping with my sisters, and my sisters would always be pulling out dresses for my mom. What about this for church? What about this? And one of my mom's favorite sayings was, "Oh, I can't wear that. That'd make me look like a Hoochie Mama." So when I painted a bait with a bunch of weird colors, I was like, "I'll name it after Mama, Hoochie Mama." Right?
That's awesome.
That's the story of
mom
it. So
loves
it's kinda stuck.
Mom loves the Hoochie Mama
saying
is what she's been named.
So now she says she's the OG Hoochie Mama.
OG.
Original gangster Hoochie Mama.
Well, I guess that bait's coming out next.
Yeah.
So we got the Hoochie Mama, and you had some experience success with wake bait, and what happened next?
Well, I got into crankbaits for a while, and then glide baits became kind of popular in the last few years. And I actually, this is not a glide, but this is actually a shad bait, but the difference in the joint, like a glide bait has one single joint in the middle where the tail acts like a rudder. Well, I actually have another. The beauty of my stuff is in my shop, I actually have a single piece bait that I carved. So then I can cut it. I could make a jointed bait out of it, or I can make a glide bait out of it. I actually bought the jointed one on this one, but I actually have this in a glide too. But it's going to be similar to this. And that's kind of been the thing that's been kind of popular in the last four, five, 6 years.
Yep.
And it's really good from spawn, pre-spawn, spawn to post-spawn, or when they're on the beds.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the experience that I've had in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Or when our water starts getting above 50 degrees. That's typically when I throw it. And it just, I don't know what it does. The way that it just glides to the left and glides to the right, it just brings the bass out. Something that just allures it. It's kind of like walking a spook in a slow motion under the water.
Right. It hypnotizes the fish. I've seen it happen. You just have pods of fish just follow these baits.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing to see the power that they have.
But I've got different sizes. I just brought this more as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Well, this is a glide. Now hold them up. We'll hold them up for just a few seconds so that the camera can follow them. This is a glide bait, right? It has one joint.
Yeah.
And it glides. It operates in an S, but when you use an erratic retrieve, it'll glide.
It'll go quicker.
Make it doom and tear off to the side, which this bait is different, right, from a multi-jointed bait. Explain to now this one has three joints. The difference in action. How does this move through the water?
This with each one of these cuts is a joint. Water's flowing through here, and it's going to catch on these corners, and it's going to push it that way. Then it's going to flow back here and catch again and move it that way, and it's going to do the same thing in the back. So it's going to swim through the water like an S.
Like an S.
Yes, and it so in. And the more joints you have, the more of the S action you're going to get. Another thing, when you guys are out there looking for your swim baits, you want to know, well, how much of a kick is it? Is it more of a tight, or is it a bigger S? It's all based upon how much separation you have between these two joints. So the wider, if you, some swim baits, you can actually pull the rod out that's holding the joints together. If you can separate it apart, you can actually change the action of your bait.
Wow.
So there's just a little bit of a.
That, and okay, so we've got S versus glide.
A glide's really more like, I think of it as a boat, and everybody has an oar or a rudder in the back of mm-hmm. a boat. And when it turns it, it's just turning your boat this way, and then the water catches the V, and it's going to turn it this way. The more, when I fish it, if I really want to manipulate it far, I'll half crank and shoot it one way, half crank and shoot it the other way. If I wind it faster, it's going to make it do it quicker, so it's not going to glide as far, but it's going to kick quicker.
Right.
So you might kick, and then wind, kick, or you might just do it real slow. And the thing about glide baits, a lot of people say they see the followers, but how do you get them to commit? Doing stuff erratic with it, or like, I enjoy fishing a jerkbait in the winter. Glide baits are kind of similar. If you throw a jerkbait out there, you jerk it, crank it down, jerk, let it sit, jerk, let it sit. You do something erratic. Yeah. Glide's the same. Throw it out there, kind of wind it, glide it, let it sit, erratic, let it sit. And then that's typically how you can get those followers to commit to it.
And that's echoed by Carl Jacobson's video. Just search Carl. Go check out his glide baits. He shows us how to do it. And it's done with the reel,
yeah,
not the rod.
Right.
It's just half turns makes it do that kind of stuff. And what's the deal on glide baits versus S baits? When do you have a strategy on when and where to throw which?
Typically, I mean, it just, I guess for me, it's kind of like, when would you throw a crankbait versus a topwater bait? I don't know. Yeah. If it seems like they're hitting topwater that day, and yeah, I got a topwater S bait, yeah, I'm probably going to throw that as a wake bait. I've done better on subsurface S baits when you would throw a spinner bait when I got commotion going, like mm-hmm. wind, storm front coming in. It seems like it's like almost like a crankbait pattern under
right.
the water.
You sure?
Because it's making a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
I typically like to use the glide baits just in the spawning time of the year. It helps
right.
you find fish too.
Right.
That you
right.
might go back and catch later
yeah,
that didn't
yeah.
commit on a jig
sure.
or something.
Yeah, and I've heard that said before. As a
yeah.
matter of fact, I fished a derby. We're here on Teleco Loudoun, and back then, it was several years ago, we weren't really into these glide baits. We were using jerk baits to pull the smallmouth up off the beds.
Right.
We weren't catching them, but they would show themselves to us.
Right.
So we could go back and then catch them with
a
jig
or
tube or
yeah,
top
okay.
shot, whatever. And that's what glide baits are notorious for doing, is being able to show you where those fish are, and then you can figure out a different way to catch them. I really like this is a mini.
Yeah, that's something new I came out with.
Hey, get your hands off that, Pete.
Oh yeah, I gave Brian this one.
Yeah.
No, I got the hook.
Oh, wait a minute. There is no giveaways here.
This is Brian's because the hook is stuck in the joint. I don't know how I did
that's
that.
All right, that's all right. Pete did that.
You can have that one.
But basic bait. I'll get it out of here. Well, okay, there you go. Basically, where I live in the south, which you guys have brim beds too, we have yeah. a ton of brim beds in the hot sun in the summer, June, July, and August. They get up on the sand and they make little circles, and you mm-hmm. can see them all over. And then our spotted bass and largemouth will wolf pack and just cruise down the bank.
Yep.
And what this bait does, well, this was the first one. This is the Angry Gill Junior, and this one's a little angry, but it's like a walking bait on top, and all it really does is just flip water. Like I walk it like a spook, and it flips up water like a popper behind it.
Wow.
And you'll do a couple flips, and then I just let it sit. And the bass are sitting there looking at the brim, and it almost looks like sometimes there's injured brim on
yeah.
the brim bed. You know how they in the sun you kind of see them flip water, and then they'll just come and smoke it.
Wow.
I just created this, the smaller one, last August. At the tail end, I was catching good fish on it,
mm-hmm.
but I really didn't get to use it for the full season of brim season. So I'm real excited about this.
Yeah, that's
Matt.
And that's called Little Angry.
Little Angry.
Yeah, and this, it kind of looks like an angry bird.
Yeah.
Look at the front of that.
Yeah. It's so you got a big size, you got a big size, and you got a small size.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we get brim when they're on the beds, but one of my favorite times to use the brim pattern is when the carp are spawning, and the carp and the brim are in feeding on the carp eggs.
Oh, really?
And the brim are everywhere feeding on the carp, and they're dumb because they're just gorging themselves on those eggs, and they're just lollygagging around. And that's when the big bass just come up and stomp it, as I see John McGraw. Shout out to John McGraw sitting in the studio. Didn't see you over there, brother. Good to have you. But the these are nice little brim replicas, and there's no way that BTC is going to get his hands on them. these are beautiful custom work. Are these available for sale? Do they have to custom order them? How does it work?
Typically, I made a big batch. I really am only in one store, and I got to get a shout out to my buddy David Hendrick and Jason Wilson, all the guys at the Great Outdoor Store there in Cherryville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. David typically has is about the only brick and mortar store you can go in. It's kind of local in our area. He carries my baits. He does a booth. I got a little display here at the Classic, and we're selling them. And I typically make a really big batch, and I work hard for about 3 months for the Classic.
Mm-hmm.
After those kind of sell out, David will have what's left over, but those will sell out. But like Brian knows, guys will go on my website. It's at TaterHogCustomLures.com or TaterHog Baits on Facebook or Instagram. And I have baits on there, and it says they're available, but pretty much all bait is made after you order.
Okay.
Typically, I'm 4 to 6 weeks out, depending upon when the season. Occasionally, I've rarely been more than 2 months out.
Okay.
But sometimes, right now, I'm actually all caught up. I'm probably 2 to 3 weeks out. Okay. But you kind of look at the front of my homepage, and it'll kind of give you an idea. And guys message me all the time, anymore with Facebook, Messenger.
Yeah, yeah.
People, they'll ask me questions how long it'll be. Right. But if guys got something they really needed, I try to get it out as fast as I can.
Excellent. Well, what is talk to me about price point. I've seen some really high prices for these.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are we at with these?
Well, a lot of my prices are based upon how long it takes me. So I'm a little extreme on my detail, but I don't make that many, so it's something a little different. So my price point is a lot higher than your typical high dollar bait in the Bass Pro Shops or something. But the Hoochie Mama sells for $125. That's the first one we started with. The Little Angry, we got it at $100.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Hogfather Jr. is at $200. The Moonshiner is really popular now. It's great at the Shad Spawn. It's $135. And then this one was $145.
Okay.
Okay.
So Eric the intern would like to order five of each color.
Five of each color. We'll hook him up. But a lot of times, Pete, when I get 20 done and I put them on Facebook, Brian knows they're gone in hours.
Right? Wow.
So that's why I'm – it's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if I forget to release the spool on my reel and it snaps off and flies into the trees, can I – call you and get another one to replace it?
Sure, buddy, anytime.
Is there a lifetime warranty?
Yeah, lifetime warranty. Most of them I like are the topwater designs. Anyway, they float, you can go
get
it.
Yeah, right.
Occasionally I've had people say they casted them way up in a tree. You can call somebody to go get you one.
Yeah, we're going swimming for these guys. What is your best seller?
Over the years, from the time I started until now, it's always been the Hoochie Mama.
Okay.
But in the last couple years, the Moonshiner has really taken over. In the last 2 years, this has been my most popular.
That is a wake bait as well?
It's a wake bait, and it wakes across the top of the water. And I have a theory on this. It's really good on our lakes in the shad spawn. Mm-hmm. And some people think, well, they're bigger bait, bigger fish, but most of our shad this time of year are about this size.
Yeah.
I compare this to the Alabama rig theory.
Yeah.
I think the bass thinks it's a bunch of shad swimming together, and it's just gulping, feeding up.
Right, right.
And that's why it likes the jointed walking baits early in the spring.
Yeah. Is Epic – Eric is probably a customer of yours, I'm sure.
Eric Galasso?
Yeah.
Oh, he knows.
Yeah. Does he have five of each?
Oh, he's got 30. You need to catch up with Eric.
Eric, we're coming to see you, brother.
How do you rig that? I see a lot of them without a split on the front.
Well, on the walking baits, Brian, I don't like the split because I like to throw them on braid. And the reason I throw them on braid is it has no memory, and braid floats.
Yep.
Some people are scared of braid, but I'm not a big hook set guy.
Yep.
I'm going to throw it out there, work it. I see the strike because a lot of times you want to pause on the strike on topwater, and I just swing my hips. And when I swing my hips, it just buries the hook into them. So that's why – and there, if I put a split, that it has a little bit of motion, and I can't snap it the way I want to snap it because I'm trying to snap that bait and literally flip water up.
Yeah.
Snap, flip. And that's typically on my topwater baits. And I'll do the same thing where, like, the Moonshiner is jointed, and it's more like a crankbait or a wakebait up on top. So I want that extra mobility and movement.
Yeah.
And I'm still throwing it on braid. Anything on top, I throw on braid.
Yep.
As far as the sinking baits, like the glide baits, there's two theories. Some people prefer fluorocarbon because they do not like the stretch. Some people are scared on the expensive baits to throw fluorocarbon, especially in the colder weather, because fluorocarbon gets more brittle if you nick it. So they'll go with mono because of the stretch. Some people, if they get a bait they buy and it's sinking too fast, mono will actually slow it down because mono floats.
Yeah.
Or they get one that's sinking too slow, fluorocarbon will bring it down a little faster.
Yep.
I see the hooks. Do you hand select these hooks?
These are all Gamagatsu hooks that I get, and I actually buy them. I need to get a deal with Gamagatsu, but I buy them at the stores retail.
And that's the one you recommend for these?
Yeah, a lot. And some of the glide baits, too. That's another thing on glide baits, guys. When you buy them, there's a lot of adjustments you can still do if you're not liking the sink rate, because different – like Brian Thrift buys, I've been on his show before. He buys stuff from me. Brian likes his to sink like this.
Real slow. Yeah, matter of fact, Matt, why don't we drop that one in our fish tank nice and slow?
He likes his probably even really slower than this, but that's about the rate that I like it.
Yeah.
Just, and then see how it's just balanced on its hooks?
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Well, so the basically on the sink rates, just by changing different hooks and different splits, it affects it.
And
water temperature really affects it. A bait that's super slow sinking in the winter when the water's 45 degrees, when it's 80 degrees in the summer, will probably float.
Right.
Because of more the buoyancy, something with the buoyancy and the temperature changes.
Huh.
Yeah, we've heard that before. We dealt with that before, you know, with different water temperatures. A bait that will suspend will sink or it will float.
Right.
And you have to constantly you have to adjust for it.
Yeah. Another trick is you can get some tackle stores will sell steel leader wire, and you can literally wrap wire around your shanks, and that can actually balance your baits better.
Yep.
So there's different – that's kind of part of like tuning a crankbait. You're tuning your glide baits.
Absolutely. When you're using mono, I mean, you're using 100-pound test so you don't lose them?
No, I typically – I usually use 20 to 25 if I use mono.
No,
but I cry, guys. I lose one, I cry too because I –
What's the project? How long does it take you to build one of these,
something
guys?
Something like this took me like 12 hours.
12 hours, wow.
Yeah, some of these other ones I've gotten down quicker, so I've got the prices – but the foil ones take the longest because – imagine trying to wrap a piece of foil around a baked potato and not make a wrinkle.
Right.
It's
right.
Hard. I mean, it's just time. And it's more of a labor of love for me, and I don't make that many. And I've taken it to an extreme, I guess, with the detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm kind of known for my detail, so it's kind of hard to cut corners now.
Yeah. Yep.
And I've had all these people buy them in the past, and I don't want to devalue the product. So I've just stuck to the way that I've done
it. Which one of those baits have you taken most of Brian Thrift's money with?
Actually, I didn't bring it, but Thrift buys a lot of the Uncle. He likes Uncle Johnny and Uncle Ronnie.
Okay, Uncle Ronnie.
Johnny. But I take you can tell him I take his money on Norman on the Moonshiner.
Yeah, that's what I was probably
getting. He's going to beat me up for that.
That's what I was getting.
I fish against Thrift a lot. Look, Brian is great. He's probably the best in our state. He's probably the best in the country.
He's one of the best in the world.
I didn't mean probably. You're right. In the world. He's an amazing. He took me one time. He's the only person that ever got me lost on my home lake.
Really?
He called me up. He's like, Taylor Hogg, we going fishing. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, it's real cold. It's in February. We're running around. He's like, we're moving. I'm like, I just got up. Yeah, we're moving. I just got up. I'm like, where are we? I'm fishing out here 4 days a week, and Thrift got me lost on my home lake.
Wow. He runs and guns.
He's a running gunner.
He's famous for it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brian Thrift, and check out his Brian Thrift's running gun pattern on Bass University TV.
He'll be here later today.
Outstanding.
Him and Matt.
We'll tell him that you gave away his
Matt Airy,
his Uncle Johnny and Uncle Ronnie.
Uncle Johnny and Uncle Ronnie. I saw you writing that down too, Pete. What is it, Uncle Johnny and Uncle Ronnie?
It's another God bait. It's just longer. I got some on. They're on my website. I think I got some on the website.
So just
I got some here at the Classic too. If anybody, they won't see it now because you're doing it on tape.
Right.
But I'll have some on the website.
Right on.
They're just a longer glide bait style.
Awesome.
Excellent. What do you think there, McGraw? Coming from a lure designer yourself, designer of
true story
of the Beast from Pure Fishing and the Stone Jig.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
I got you.
All right. Yeah, I actually designed a Stone Jig for Mans.
Yep.
Back in we're going back now, like 98.
73?
Yeah, 97 or 98.
Oh,
and then,
okay.
The Beast back in 2005.
Yeah.
For Berkeley, soft plastic.
That's right.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's real cool.
Yeah, we were working on a crankbait there for a minute.
Yeah, I was messing around with something along those lines, but, life gets in the way.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I was using actually a penny as buoyancy instead of lead.
Right? Oh, okay.
And it was actually a neat little concept in that the penny, when the crankbait went through, it turned it into a one clacker before one clackers ever became one clacker.
Wow, that's, yeah. Sometimes your biggest screw-ups are when you figure something, you're like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah, so it was a neat little thing. Yeah, and I love your lures.
Thank you.
It's the first time I've actually seen them. And, you know, I'm really interested in the idea of using resin as your buoyancy, the great buoyancy. You're not using
the reason I use resin is a lot of times when over time, and I've tried 30, 40 different kinds of clear coats over the years, and I got really good clear coat, and they're durable, and they're to my satisfaction because I'm a fisherman too, just like all you guys. But if you use them and fish them hard, you're still going to get hook rash, and they're going to dig into it a little bit. Well, on a wooden bait, you're going to have to go back and seal it because of moisture. With pure resin, it can rash off, and you still don't have to seal it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's why I went with it.
Yeah, you're saying that it's proprietary. I'm kind of in my head. I don't even know how you actually developed something that has buoyancy and still is a resin. Do you have a cavity?
Well, it's basically,
you don't want to give it away.
No, it's okay. There's a local grocery store that screwed me up. It was called Food Line in North Carolina. It's called Food Line. And they make the red Solo cups. Well, they got the clear ones. Well, you know how the Solo cups have little lines on there?
Uh-huh.
Well, when you pour resin, you have part A and part B, and you pour it in the cup. Well, one of the little nicks was my pour line, right, on both sides. Did this for like 12 years. Never measured it. Never took the time to measure it because I was doing trial and error. And I figured out my mix ratio. And I'm like, okay, it's to this nick. It's to this nick. And I put so many scoops of the composite. You got to put the scoops. A lot of guys use micro balloons. I don't. I use something else. That's a trade secret I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
But you put that in the resin, and that gives you the buoyancy. It makes the resin float.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, I had my scoops down. I had my mix down. I've been using it for 12 years. Guess what happened to Food Line last year? They changed the Solo cup.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh, great. Now I had to figure out my mix ratio again. But you learn from trial and error. And when I'm building a glide bait, I might only put this many scoops. But when I'm building a topwater bait, I might put more scoops to make it more buoyant.
Gotcha.
Some of my crankbaits I'll put – but it's a catch-22 because the more scoops you put in to make the resin buoyant, it weakens the resin.
Right.
So bigger baits with these stronger joints, I'm going to have a different mix ratio.
That's awesome.
Wow. Excellent. It's complicated.
There's some science in there, right?
Yeah.
He's schooling us all.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But he's keeping his trade secrets at the same time.
Got to do it, baby.
Yeah, you got to do it.
That's awesome, man.
Well, man, you know, Matt, I appreciate you taking the time teaching us all about these baits.
I got
they're
no.
beautiful.
So what's your record head-to-head with Thrift?
I don't know. Well, a couple years ago, I was doing pretty good in the winter, and Thrift called me on the phone, and he's – well, actually, when I call Thrift, when I'm struggling, I'm like, Brian, I'm struggling, man. What should I do? And he's like, oh, Taylor, how? Just go to the 150 bridge. Don't shake your head. You know, he's don't want to give me information. Then a couple weeks, when I'm doing good, he'll come, oh, Taylor, what are you catching him on? What are you catching him on? You know, and I'll tell him the truth usually.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I'm pretty good at talking trash because I played basketball in Indiana. And a couple times I screwed up and I talked trash to him when I beat him. But I only beat him by like a pound in a little local 40-boat tournament or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, well, then he catches 20 one time, and he's like, Taylor Hogg, when I beat you by like 8 pounds. You beat me, you just skin one in there. He's awesome. A good dude.
He's the best. He's one of our best instructors. He's one of the best anglers in the world. And he uses your baits, and, you know, that's quite a testament.
Yeah.
You know, loves that custom stuff. But, hey, Matt, I appreciate it, man. Thanks
all
for
right,
being
man,
with us.
Y'all
thanks for
in.
Sharing all this trade secret stuff and all keeping right. a few to yourself. And we look forward to coming back, you know, next year. Maybe we'll see you at the next Classic, man. And you can show us the latest and greatest.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and I really appreciate you taking the time to let me talk about myself.
And now give me that website one more time.
It's www.taterhogcustomluresw.com. Or just if you Google Tater, T-A-T-E-R, Hog, you'll find me.
Tater Hog.
Yep.
Google Tater Hog. I'm doing it right now. We'll be back with some more Bass University TV Live.
Yep.
Now, we're going to edit that out. We'll be back with some more Bass University TV Live.